Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.
Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth!
For the win! Ayler's gone! Come on, touchdown, Indy! Woo! IU! America! They got a football team now!
It's pretty simple, I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop!
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hello, sports fans. Welcome to another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio, coming to you from high atop the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. Joined now, for those following along on YouTube, you can see our new engineer. There's Hank. Say hi to Ruby's dad, Hank. Now, go back to the engineering room. Speaking of the right spot, Indiana's got to find it for themselves, find that the right spot, as they are currently they're sitting in the upper third of the Big Ten standings, but they have yet to hit the toughest part of their schedule, which is coming, and that does not include at Northwestern tonight. That does not include against Maryland at home up next, but after that, it gets real. And so that's going to be an interesting path for Indiana. But if they can manage to pull out these two games, which these are possible wins, I'm not saying that they're going to win. They're an underdog tonight at Northwestern, and Northwestern plays really well at home. But if they were able to pull out those two wins, man, they would extend their chance to actually do what I don't think they have a chance to do, and that's make the NCAA tournament. Their numbers are just horrible, but they keep hanging around.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Lenardi, what he posted yesterday, they're the last team in. So they're going to be fighting it out with teams like Cincinnati, which lost last night, North Carolina, which lost last night, Texas, SMU that Louisville blew out last night, and then the Ohio State team that they beat, and then they bounced back and beat Purdue. So it's going to come down to the last week of the season, unless they get on a run. If they do the win-loss thing going forward, it's going to come down to the last week of the season and then how they do in the Big Ten tournament. So they're not out of it. They're not in it. They're got to play their way in.
Losing to Indiana fires teams up. let's see. They beat USC. USC goes to Illinois and wins.
True.
That's unbelievable. They beat Ohio State. Ohio State goes to Mackey and beats Purdue. A little surprise. It's that's college. I mean, that's conference play, but it does not correlate to Indiana beating the teams they beat.
Yeah, I mean, is it correct that Woodson's record against Northwestern is 0-4? Did I read that somewhere?
I believe so. He's 1-5 against Nebraska, I think.
Yeah, you got to beat Northwestern. Maryland's been a terrible road team this year. Got to win that game. Then you give yourself a little cushion. And then after that, it's at Wisconsin, at Purdue, correct?
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, these two games are critical. Got to win at least one. You win them both, then you're putting yourself in you change the dynamic about your team. Would it be their first three-game winning streak in the Big Ten? Would it be? I don't know. But You know, they played okay against Ohio State. They didn't play great. They still, it's been a while since they played what I really think is a great game. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they had Luke Goody and Umar Ballo. Again, other than that, they didn't get a lot of help. It's surprising when two guys that have decent games can beat a home team, especially. And then Luke Goody, the guy that was kind of at the center of it, is the one that stepped up and had a great game. For whatever reason, he strikes me as the guy that cares the most about winning on this team. He's been on the team not very long. It's his first season, but it just maybe it's because he comes from a winning culture when he was in Illinois, because of how he was coached by Brad Underwood. You know how those guys play. And I think that he just still – he has that in him. Now, my question is, if Malik Renu returns tonight, which is possible, there's nothing said about it, he'll probably be questionable on the report. But if he returns, what do they do? You going to take out Goody, or are you going to take out Mbako, who's 0-for-15 in the last four games on three-point shots and 4-of-29 from the field overall for 13%.
You don't take out Goody. And to go back to what you said about him, I agree with you. He seems to be the guy who gets it more than anybody else. And that's not surprising because, A, he comes from an IU family. He used to go to IU games when he was a kid. His dad played football at IU. His uncle played football at IU. He wanted to come to IU, but Archie didn't offer him a scholarship. So then he wanted to play in the Big Ten. He went to Illinois. And then the first opportunity really he got, I think that he knew that IU would take him, he came. He left a program that's been better the last couple of years to come to Indiana. He gets it. And if more guys played the way he played, they'd have a better record. You know, I think I would leave him in the lineup and I would take Mbako out. I mean, the games that I've watched recently with Mbako, you know, what alarms me about him is when you watch him compared to other good teams, he's not engaged on defense. I mean, he's not. He doesn't get down in a stance. He's not aggressive on putting pressure on the guy he's guarding, the guy who has the ball. He's doesn't react with enough urgency on switches. And a lot of times it looks like his approach to the game is totally dictated on whether his shots are going in. And if they're not going in, he's somewhat checked out, and he's not contributing. So put somebody in there who's going to check more boxes in terms of defense, passing, aggressiveness, than somebody who you're just waiting for them to make some shots. I know that I talk about Louisville a lot because I watch them the most, but if you really watch them play, and I watched them last night, they played SMU, which scored 117 in its last game against Miami. And I know Miami's bad, but SMU had 10 points after the first 12 minutes because Louisville was guarding the heck out of them. And, you know, it's a cliche, but I mean, defense is not dependent upon your shots going. And you're going to have games when you don't make shots. But, you know, a lot of good coaches have said that your defense can be consistent as long as you provide the effort. And I would like to see Mike Woodson, you know, buy into that and say, hey, the guys who are really going to guard, they're going to play.
Yeah, well, at least he has responded such by
sitting him.
Yes, he's been yeah. I mean, he has not played, man. His minutes have gone just plummeted. But and I said this a few games back. If I'm in Baco, I'm begging, put me back in. Put me back in. But if you're not, and you've got a towel, or if you're over on the bench with a towel on your head, you've already lost. You've lost.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. And sometimes you see things that you're not sure what you're really seeing, but a couple of times I've looked on the bench when Indiana's gotten on rolls and guys are standing up and clapping or they're cheering and he's not leading the charge and some of that stuff. So I don't know what's going on, but he's got the ability to be a better player than he's been. And as you said, I mean, I remember last year talking to him before last season at Media Day, and he basically said he thought he'd only be at IU for 1 year. He wanted to go to the pro NBA after 1 year. Well, he's getting further away from that goal than he is closer to the goal with the way he's playing.
Yeah, it's as if he thought it was just going to magically happen because he had been touched by this magic wand. Because
he was the highly ranked recruit who was going to go to Duke, and you know, he was part of that AAU team from New Jersey with DJ Wagner and Aaron Bradshaw, and all three of those guys were allegedly one and done guys coming out of high school. And DJ Wagner's playing and really not excelling this year at Arkansas. He's playing okay. He's not playing like he's a first round draft pick. Aaron Bradshaw's playing at Ohio State. He's not looking like he's an NBA draft pick. And Mackenzie Mbako's playing at IU, and he's not looking like he's an NBA draft pick. So all of them were hyped big time in high school. They were all top 25 recruits, and they were the number one AAU team in the country.
Yeah, yesterday I read an article that was by Seth Davis, which I know you're very familiar with, but he pretty much laid it out in essence, which nothing that all the rest of us don't already know, but that instead of using this opportunity to put together an incredible team that IU could have, they have basically, he's put together a team that won't work, that will not work together from
because
a functional standpoint.
Because the pieces don't fit together or because they don't have a work ethic?
Well, that second part is there. He didn't even mention that. But just the first part, I mean, it was done before you even got to the – actually, and that's a good point, because effort and just working your butt off on things sometimes magically overcome talent. Magically overcome whatever. You got to create your own luck. But when you're doing neither, when you don't have the right pieces and they're not working hard, you are not going to be successful.
Yeah, I have to read that piece. I haven't read it yet. I agree with, for the most part. We've talked about it before, that I think the biggest problem is in today's game, you need four guys really who can handle the ball, shoot the ball, pass the ball, drive the ball. And Indiana doesn't have that when they get their full lineup, when neither Renu nor Balo can play effectively away from the basket. So you're trying to do it a different way than everybody else. I guess it can work on some occasions, but at the very highest level, I don't think it works. And they still don't have, you know, a stud guard. Miles Rice has had great games. He's solid. He's not
but
elite. You know, you got to have a stud who can really go get you a basket when you really need one, and is, you know, elite defensively. Again, I go back to Louisville. You remember Chucky Hepburn from Wisconsin. I mean, he's having a phenomenal year for Louisville. He played last night. He hit three of his first four threes. And then after that, he really didn't concentrate on scoring. He finished with 13 points. He had 16 assists. He set the Louisville school record with 16 assists and only two turnovers. And he plays good defense. He shut down SMU's best guard. So give me really good guards and give me a big man who can handle the ball, drive the ball. Man, the Indiana really hasn't had a guy that could do that since who? Troy Williams?
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely a high flyer.
Right. Justin Smith, as we talked about before, he did a lot of good things, but he was a liability when he had the ball in his hands. If he tried to drive the ball, he would pass. His assist total was very low, and he wasn't really a great outside shooter. You got to have a forward who really – a small forward or an undersized power forward who really the defense has to fear, because he can beat you in a lot of different ways. When you're defending against Renu, you have to defend about taking away, you know, him turning to his right and shooting with his left hand. on the block when he backs you down. You don't have to worry about him 15 feet from the rim, right? I mean, I agree with Seth. It's been a poorly constructed team. And as we know, I mean, it's been a team constructed sometime at the last minute. It wasn't like they went out before that season and said, we really want Malik Renew. It was like, oh, Malik Renew decommitted from Florida. He's available now. We need a player. Let's go get him. Just like they did with Bates, just like they did with Mbako. All the guys they have this year in the portal. I mean, that's not like they've targeted many of these guys out of high school and said, this is the guy we want. This is the guy we're going to develop. And this is the guy we're going to build a team around. Who would it be on this team?
That's the best thing. The most accurate statement I think I've seen today. Brian S says IU is a glorified AAU team. And you know what? That's very accurate, because you think back to some teams of recent. Logan Duncan, who was viewed as this big time recruit, ended up where? Nowhere.
He's at Winthrop and he didn't even play that much.
Yeah, that's amazing. He was this big, can't miss kind of a guy. And that's what you get with AAU, hits and misses. Christian Lander, you know, got to have him, got to get out of school early. Big mistake. Just all this stuff. But tonight they go into Northwestern and they need this win. Everyone needs a win, but they need this win because it's a place where you can possibly steal a win, and which Indiana's going to have to do if they have any aspiration of making the NCAA tournament, which I don't see happening, but it's not impossible, so I'm not going to rule it out. They just beat a team that beat Purdue. So can they beat Northwestern? I think that they can, but I don't know that they will. They haven't been successful in doing it under Mike Woodson, and Northwestern's successful at home.
Yeah, I mean, that's that we mentioned earlier, losing four straight to Northwestern. That shouldn't happen. Northwestern's a team that's, you know, played a lot of close games recently. They should have beat Michigan on Sunday. They lost. The game before, they won on a buzzer beater and beat Maryland. I mean, they hang around and play close. They make shots. They're not an elite team. I don't even know if they're a bubble team or not. Are they?
Northwestern?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they are right now. I mean, I don't have that pulled up, but my guess from where they are.
They're ranked ahead of Indiana in the computer rankings. So,
well, who is Indiana's
last team in? I don't know. Northwestern might be. And let's see where they are in the net.
Who is it ranked ahead of Indiana in the net rankings? Well,
they're ahead of Indiana. They're number 52 and Indiana 63. So if Indiana's in, Northwestern's in. So this is a game that becomes even a more reason you need to win the game.
And it's a Q1 game, right?
Yes,
it
is.
They're top 75 at home.
And it's among road games you play the rest of the year. It's probably going to be the least intimidating environment, because in Evanston, there's a lot of IU fans in the Chicago area, and there'll be IU fans at the game. The women's team went into Northwestern and won. You look at road games, where would you rather play, Northwestern or Michigan State or Purdue or Wisconsin? I think it's pretty obvious.
And there's usually a good faction of IU fans the Welsh Ryan Arena because of the proximity to the state there, but there's a ton of IU fans. Chicago is its second biggest city of graduates.
Hey, if the football team went into Northwestern and won, the women's basketball team went into Northwestern and won, the men's basketball team, it shouldn't be a bridge too far to expect them to go into Northwestern and win.
Great movie. I just watched it for the first time.
Bridge Too Far?
Yes.
It is a great movie.
Indiana heads to Northwestern to take on the Northwestern Wildcats tonight. But yesterday, Seth Davis had an article out in regards to Indiana. He talked about pretty much everything. And he started out by saying, as many people warned at the time of Woodson's hiring, his lack of experience as a college coach has turned out to be a major impediment. There aren't many programs in America with more NIL money than Indiana at the moment, yet instead of building a cohesive roster that could succeed in the pace and space era, Woodson created a team that is woefully out of date. The Hoosiers attempt 32.3% of their shots from behind the three-point line, which ranks 330th nationally per KenPom. Their 31.4 three-point percentage ranks 274th. That style may have worked when Woodson played, but in today's game, it's an anachronism. Yeah, well, that's not something that we didn't know, but that puts some numbers to it, a few more numbers to it. And it's, you know, now the people from outside are talking about it. I don't see a path to Woodson being in Bloomington next season, luckily for Indiana fans, because there is not a path to success. Someone asked that earlier. No, there's not a path to success because he just refuses. Okay, he not knowing something is okay. That's not an issue. But refusing to recognize it, refusing to try to do something about it, refusing to try to adjust is asinine. And he has all of the resources at his disposal and using none. Instead, bringing in old buddies, creating a staff full, and I'm not talking about the assistants that were just Archie Miller holdovers. Hint. Yeah. Let me keep the assistants from the losing regime from before me, because I'm not capable or I'm too lazy to go out and get my own staff. But then you've got these other guys that are on the payroll that, what the hell are they doing? It's these all guys that are supposedly NBA experienced, but what does that do at the end of the day? I don't know that it does anything.
The thing about the style of play is that is concerning or alarming or disturbing, however you want to say it, is that it hasn't changed. It worked okay when you had Trayce Jackson-Davis because he was the best player in the country.
And you had Jalen Hood-Schifino.
And you had Jalen Hood-Schifino and Rice Thompson. But mainly Trayce Jackson-Davis. I mean, he made it work, especially his senior year. Khalil Ware was okay. He's not Trayce Jackson-Davis, and this year Balo isn't. And you've watched the way the game has played the last few years, and you haven't changed or adapted to it. And that's an alarming sign of stubbornness or failure to recognize what's going on around you or inability to put together a plan and adapt your philosophy to do it. And that's not going to work. And I don't know. It's they're at a crossroads if they have to decide of, you know, they're going to fix this thing or they're going to muddle on through after this season. I don't think anything's going to happen during the middle of the year.
Neither do I. And well, anybody that does is, I think, not in realistic.
You know, and they because of just the way it is, there's so many teams in that middle ground that are scrambling for tournament spots. They could win enough games and get in, but they're not a team that's going to do anything in the NCAA tournament. And after it's over, they need to have a serious discussion and say, with the current staff in place, can this team win Big Ten titles and compete on a national level? And I think anybody who's been watching over the last 4 years would say, no, it can't.
No, and in that article by Seth, he texted others. Let's see, where did he first talk about that? He texted others around the sport asking whether or not Indiana is still a top 10 job. And many cited the unrealistic expectations of the fans as a major negative. A prominent agent called the fans delusional, while another agent added, the fan base's expectations can be extreme and unrealistic, and I think that scares some coaches. It's not the prominent tier one job, some think. I agree and disagree. I agree that it's not at the moment, but I disagree because the minute you get the right guy, if you think getting the right guy for IU football was successful, getting the right guy for IU basketball will be double successful, because this is a state that craves basketball, that produces basketball, that is already has great tradition. Indiana football is having to create everything. So it could instantly be what it should be. And the NIL and portal era is the perfect ingredient, or the perfect ingredients for that to happen. It just hasn't.
I mean, I generally agree. I mean, if it would be a more alarming sign that it wasn't a good job if the fan support dropped off to nothing. That people are still coming and supporting this product is a sign of an engaged fan base that wants to win and would be willing to contribute to NIL at an even higher level if they were given a product that's commensurate with what the support is. Is it unrealistic to expect it's going to be back to the way it was when Knight was in his glory? Yeah, that probably is, but not if you find the right coach. I mean, UConn has gotten it back to where they are, and they were unhappy with Kevin Ollie, and they drove him out and brought in Hurley, and now they're winning. Louisville was unhappy with Chris Mack and then Kenny Payne. They brought in Pat Kelsey, and now they're winning, and people are coming back and supporting the team. If Duke or North Carolina or Kansas or Kentucky had the malaise that IU's had for the last however many years, their fans would act just the same way. They just haven't found the right coach. And when they do find the right coach, it'll come back to the where it is. But they've tried all these different formulas. And I thought Archie Miller would be a decent coach. He wasn't. And he was not fit. His personality wasn't fit for the job. You know, I don't know. It's perplexing. I hear that stuff. Any coach that would be afraid to come to Indiana because of the expectations shouldn't be the coach.
I agree with that. That's the one thing where there would not be. There are some. I wrote to something yesterday that Bob Knight is not walking through that door to steal a Rick Pitino line, and most likely, the next coach is not going to be a Bob Knight. There aren't many Bob Knights. There are few of those kinds of guys, but there are many that win, that are successful.
Right.
And that's what you got to do. You've got to get the right guy, and they have not done that for a multitude of reasons. This goes back to the administration, but a multiple layer of administrations. It's not one. It's many. This is mistakes that have been made, and it's like, what are you kidding me? Let me say this.
I mean, look at Ohio State football. Are their fans delusional? Yeah, they are. But, you know, look at the heat that Ryan Day was getting, and he would have gotten even more if he hadn't won the national championship. You think Michigan fans are going to be happy with Sharon Moore if he doesn't get them back in the playoffs next year and make noise? How long do you think Alabama is going to tolerate another season like they got this year out of Kalen DeBoer? That the programs that aspire to be really great have fans that put pressure on the coaching staff and the administration to win. That's a prerequisite of having a top program. I mean, it's not any different than anywhere else. It's a lazy analysis to say that IU fans are unrealistic. Anybody who says that hasn't watched the product that they've been given over the last 8 years or 9 years, for sure. They haven't been given a product that it is equal to the financial and emotional investment that the fans make in the product.
Absolutely. There would be no complaining, or very, very little, if they were winning, at least winning, you know, somewhat consistently. There's always going to be some moaning, but you want that. You have to have some passion. You have to have and Indiana is one of those places that does. The fact that their fan base is still this passionate this long after not being good is almost amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and you look around, I mean, they've been passed by Illinois. Brad Underwood's built a better – he got hired the same year as Archie Miller. He was a better hire. He's built a better program. Purdue hired – Matt Painter. He's been there, what, second longest in the Big Ten. He's consistent. He wins every year. This was supposed to be a down year, and they're still going to make the tournament even in a down year. Tom Izzo is the king of the Big Ten. Greg Gard's taken over for Bo Ryan, and they win. You know, he lost Chucky Hepburn and A.J. Starr and Asijin and all these guys, and Wisconsin's still winning. It's not unrealistic to expect Indiana should have the consistency of those programs and be a team where you look at them and say, oh, they're going to be on the bubble again to make the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's not being unrealistic.
Wisconsin again. Wisconsin and Illinois. And you might as well throw Michigan State and Purdue in both in there. Yeah. Those four teams have been unbelievably consistent.
Correct.
And in Illinois and Wisconsin, they have been consistent with constant change that you just mentioned. Illinois, it's like they have a new roster. They lose guys every single year, and Brad Underwood puts another team together. It's amazing. Wisconsin, again, you just lost their, but we'll just go at it again. It's good coaching. It's a plan. It's having the knowledge of what you're trying to accomplish. I don't know that this team understands what they're trying to accomplish. I really don't, because personally, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish when they're on the floor.
I agree. I mean, we don't know what the plan is. We don't know, you know, what the plan is, to scramble at the end of the season and put a roster together and stick this guy here and stick this guy there. And, you know, there's just so many different things we can go on. The scheduling, the style of play, the inconsistency, the puzzling losses, the inability to beat Nebraska and Northwestern, Penn State. I mean, that's not being delusional to expect Indiana should be able to beat Nebraska, Penn State, and Northwestern. And I think he's got a losing record against all three of those teams, right?
Which is amazing to say that. Yeah,
yeah, I know you. That's not delusional. I mean,
no, none of it is delusional. Here's the issue. I don't think that their frustrations and all of that, none of that's delusional. It's accurate. What the problem ends up for me being is they cross lines. They start interacting with players and then calling players losers and this and that. And I'm like, whoa, yeah. Whoa, get out of that crap. That shouldn't be going on.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the issue I have. You had a piece out, a couple of days ago. I don't even know what today's date is. Yeah, five days ago in regards to what Indiana has to do. And I don't see any choice but to make a change at the end of this season. If they don't, then I don't. That to me, that's saying that you just don't care. I understand there's some financial systems, but and I don't think I've talked to you. Have I talked to Dusty May's buyout is only $5 million, and becomes $4 million at May 1st. I was told that last minute change of heart between Louisville and Michigan was because he was able to negotiate that lower buyout.
I don't know if that's true or not. You know, I'm not sure. But Dusty May is doing good things at Michigan. I know they had a bad loss last week to Minnesota, and Minnesota now suddenly come alive and beat Iowa at Iowa last night. So
crazy. They've got two Big Ten wins. Both of them are quad ones.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But, you know, the pressure went down on Friday night because Indiana won that game in overtime against Ohio State. If they would have lost that game after blowing a 10-point lead in the last 5 minutes, the pressure would be through the roof right now. But they won, so the pressure's off. And, you know, we're just going to go through this for the next however many weeks. What is it, six or seven to the end of the Big Ten tournament? And then they have to have an honest, realistic discussion of where the program is and where they want it to be.
Oh, and I think those discussions are happening right now.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. But and a decision made and move on. And I don't know how you can bring this guy back. considering the level of the fan base has already made its decision.
Oh yes. Right? They've moved on. They have. Oh, absolutely. My question is with
and that the recruits have made their decision, Jim.
Oh, absolutely. Liam McNeely. That's another thing I posted yesterday. To
and Mullins and Harrelson and
Mullins, you know, Harrelson, Sisley,
Bland, on and on.
The guys you missed out on that you didn't even look at. Trey Singleton at Jeffersonville, not even given a look, even though his coach is Sharon Wilkerson, a former IU player who should probably be on the next IU staff. I'll be honest with you, he's a hell of a coach. And I'm not saying he should be the head coach.
That's and the other thing that caught my attention. Is that it was interesting that they lost the game last Tuesday night and got blown out by Illinois and embarrassed. And Woodson was asked about the crowd behavior. And he said, I love our fans and I respect our fans and all that stuff. And then they beat Ohio State and somebody asked him about the outside noise and the heat. And he said, oh, that's ridiculous. It's not what he said after he was in the building and he got booed. But then after they won a game, it wasn't ridiculous, and it's not going away. And it just showed – that really showed the way he feels about it is that, you know, he doesn't like to be criticized at all.
Oh, no, thin-skinned.
And, huh?
They're very thin-skinned.
Yeah, and he doesn't – he either disregards or he doesn't get how unhappy people are. He doesn't get it because he's got – his small circle of friends who support him, who can keep him insulated from that, I guess, with their financial backing. But
the yes men,
if you get outside that, you know, protective barrier, he's not going to like what he hears and sees and feels.
Nope. My last question, getting back to Dusty May's buyout.
Okay.
There's no doubt that was done with purpose. There's no coach at his position at a school like that in his first year that has a buyout like that. So that was not accidental.
You would think so. I just surprised Michigan would go along with it for that level. You know, knowing what could possibly happen. They're not ignorant. They know what the situation was at IU last year and how close Woodson was to people wanting to move on from him. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out for Michigan the rest of the year. I mean, I don't know Dusty at all. I know you've had him on the show, right?
Yeah, Dusty's a great guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. I've heard nothing but great things about him. I know people that know Dusty and respect Dusty and went to IU with Dusty, and he gets the whole IU thing. I'm sure in a perfect world, if there was no other complications, he would do anything to coach at IU. But I just wonder, you know, it's kind of similar to when Jeff Brohm was at Purdue in the Purdue job opened, the Louisville job opened after a year, and he didn't feel like he wanted to walk out of his commitment to come to Louisville. And then the second time it opened, he came. I don't know if that's how Dusty feels about it or not. The job's not even open yet, but in a perfect world, I think Dusty May would have to be at the very top of the list if something happens at Indiana.
Yeah, and I agree with you about that, but that low buyout there, it's there for a reason. It's there for a reason. The great Rick Bozich, if you are right. not following him, you are missing out on great content at WDRB.com, and follow him on Twitter/X, whatever. Appreciate you, my friend, and have a great rest of your week. You and Rudy, right. Stay warm.
Give Hank a hug, man. We'll have to get them together someday.
We'll absolutely. We'll talk all some right. hoops. Rick Bozich, appreciate you. That's going to wrap it up for today's edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio. So happy to have each and every one of you guys along for the ride. We're back tomorrow to do it again. Until tomorrow, we'll see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.